So hello, and I'm sorry that I had to miss the opening session. One of the things maybe Andrea said this, but one of the things I like about, it's important for me about the opening session is everybody sitting together in a circle and being reminded or witnessing that we're all in it together. And so I feel like it's important for everyone to be there to see that togetherness. And so I wasn't there. But I had to be, my wife was out of town, away, and I had to be with my kids this afternoon and make them dinner. And so that was, I couldn't come earlier. So, so at this point in the retreat, kind of the formal beginning of a retreat, we often do what's called the refuges and the precepts. And so we usually give a little talk about the refuges. And this discourse that we'll do for this retreat has something very significant about refuge in it. And that is that there's only two places that I found in the suttas, in the discourses of the Buddha, where the Buddha gives instruction having to do with what you should do about refuge. And nowhere in the suttas that I found does he give any instruction for people to take refuge in him, in the Dharma, or the Sangha. But what he does do in these two passages where the air is kind of more instructional, in one place he says in the last discourse in the last his last days, he says, make yourself a refuge. Make yourself an island. Make the Dharma a refuge. Make the Dharma an island for you. So somehow that you can become your own refuge, your own place of safety, an island in the midst of the floods. You can become safe in the world of change and danger and challenge and that we live in, that we can become our own refuge, that there's some safety found in our hearts and our minds here. And the advantage of finding your safety here in yourself is that it's portable. And you can take it with you. If other kinds of safety are usually not so portable. And so this counts for a lot. So that's the one thing he said. The second instruction he gave about refuge is in this sutta. And after this section that Andrea read, or just before, I guess. I don't know where it's before. Here, just after it says, one pure in heart, one fear in act, when pure in heart brings his virtue to perfection. It is here that you should bathe, to make yourself a refuge for all beings. So it talks about bathing and purifying yourself, cleansing yourself of these defilements and the stains, the sufferings that we have. But here it doesn't say you do it for your own sake. Here it says you do it for the sake so others can, you make yourself a refuge for others. And I am very fond of this idea that we can make ourselves a refuge. We can become a person that makes a difference in the world and supports others in a variety, in many, many different ways, each person in their own way. And that this practice we're doing is not just self-serving, you know, so that I can be free and leave you guys behind, but rather to become make ourselves a refuge. So the Buddha never said, go to the Triple Refuge, but he did say, make yourself a refuge for yourself and make yourself a refuge for others. However, you find all over the suttas stories of people who encountered the Buddha and then after encountering him, hearing his teaching, declared in front of the Buddha, I'm going for refuge to you. I'm going for refuge in the Dharma and the Sangha. And it has the appearance of being a spontaneous, inspired choice that these people make. They're moved by the teachings, moved by the Buddha, moved by what they've seen. It somehow resonates with something inside of them that they feel, here I can find a refuge, a protection, I can find a haven, I can find support for my life. And that's what the refuges are meant to be a support, protection for ourselves. And it's good to have these things because if it's only up to you, to figure it all out, it's probably going to be pretty hard. You'll be doing it, take a while. But we have this wonderful example of the Buddha and the Sangha, of other people who've practiced. We have the wonderful example, or the teachings of the Dharma, which point us to the practices that can lead us to become a refuge for others, lead us to this freedom that's possible. And so this idea that it's a spontaneous kind of inspired thing that people do to take refuge, there's no obligation in Buddhism. You're not obligated to take refuge. But we kind of, even though you're not obligated, we hope that in the few words we say at the beginning of the retreat, that it can touch on some way that you can feel that this is something that you can do here in your own way. Because we'd like to do at the beginning is to understand that we're creating a shared container, a shared community with shared values. And the values are that we're here to because of the Buddha, in the sense that without the Buddha we wouldn't be here together in this way. We're here because the Buddha doesn't represent an enlightened person, but rather the Buddha represents enlightenment itself. And the classic way that it's worded to take refuge in the Buddha is not to take refuge in the Buddha as a person, but take a refuge in the Buddha's bodhi, in the Buddha's awakening. And the way that is possible to free the mind, to release the mind. It is possible to live with a heart and mind that's at peace. And this is what the Buddha represents. So we take refuge, or we find support in this possibility of having a peaceful, awake heart. And that's kind of like context. We're all here for that. We're all here for this. We're not here to square dance. You know, if you signed up for the square dancing camp and you came here, you took the wrong turn. So the fact that we all kind of share something in common, I think, is very important. That we're all here doing this similar thing. And it's represented by this idea of freedom, freedom of the heart. The second is take refuge in the Dharma. We find support that there are these practices, these teachings, and natural patterns of our heart that unfold in a particular way that support us. So if we do the practices, if we live ethically, then our hearts respond in supportive ways. I hope that if you can live ethically, live in such a way you don't cause harm to others and to yourself, that it causes your heart to sing. Isn't it nice? It's a wonderful thing in this world that people live in such a way that they don't want to harm anybody. So that's kind of take refuge in the Dharma, is to take refuge in the possibility of your heart singing in delight. Oh, isn't this great? And take refuge in the Dharma also is to realize that if you offer yourself in practice mindfulness, concentration, letting go, practice honesty and truthfulness, that the heart responds to that, and you'll become a different person. Your heart will change, and your heart will be a heart that supports this path of freedom that we're on. And we're here not just to have an experience, we're here to transform our hearts, to change our hearts, to mature our hearts, so that our hearts become beautiful with these kind of inner qualities that come when we live truthfully. So to take refuge in the Dharma is kind of acknowledging that we're here to do a certain task, to live by certain values. And then to take refuge in the Sangha is to take refuge in the fact that there are a lot of people who have followed this path before you, who are following it now, who followed it after you, and that you're not alone in doing it. And having the support of others is really, really important. I don't think I could ever have practiced to the degree to which I practiced without the support of others and their example. And so we have here these three supports. So in the beginning of retreat, we do a little chant, refuge chant, which is to acknowledge that this is what we'll share for these days. This is the context and container. Make sense? And then the other shared context, shared understanding that we live by, is called the five precepts. And these five precepts, in one place the Buddha calls them gifts, the five great gifts, because when you live by the precepts, you give people the gift of safety, of fearlessness. They have nothing to fear if you're living by these. So the first gift is the gift that you're not going to kill anybody. That's a pretty good gift to the people who you're thinking about killing. But not just people, but also animals and insects. And the idea is to try to become as harmless as a person as we can, especially when we're on the retreat. So we have that in common, that is the dedication that we have. To not to take what is not given. So it's the higher kind of order of behavior than not stealing. If it hasn't been offered, then don't take it. And that creates a very important safety for everyone who's here, because they don't have to be so worried about their things. And some people don't have much safety in their lives. And it's a great gift for them to be able to come to a place where they can relax. Many of you, I don't know your background, where you come from. And I know there's all too many people in our society that live in fear and danger. And it's a very beautiful thing to be able to come into a community where you start relaxing and feeling safe. And one of the ways we do that is by respecting people's things, not taking anything from anybody or taking what's not given. The third is not to engage in sexual misconduct. And that's one way we harm each other and cause difficulties for people. And so here we try to keep our sexual energy to ourselves. We don't let it spill out in any kind of way to others, even in our glances and how we look at people. But we keep it all, no sexual misconduct. In fact, here in retreat, this precept means celibacy. The fourth is not to speak falsehoods, to speak honestly. And I think this is essential for the practices of mindfulness. In fact, I think that honesty is mindfulness out loud. And because what we're trying to do with mindfulness is to be honest with what's happening to ourselves, what's happening now. And so here we have a commitment. Maybe it's hard to figure out what's honest, what's the truth, but at least I think we can be hopefully clear when we have intentions to be dishonest, and we avoid that here. And that's a great gift to the community, to everyone, but they can trust you. You know that what you say counts. You know that there's no deceit going on here, and you get what you get. It's pretty straightforward. It's pretty easy to follow this precept here because you're not supposed to speak anyway. It's mostly a silent retreat. You'll have a chance to talk to Andre and I. We'll have meetings, practice discussion meetings with us during the retreat. You talk about that a little bit? We'll put up sheets later and explain to you how that works. And you have a chance to meet with us. So that's one place that you can talk. And then there might be a little bit of talking around your work meditation if you have to check with the managers or your crew about working things out. But the idea is to stay in silence. And the last is to not be involved in intoxicating yourself. So no recreational drugs or alcohol. And this is also a very big gift. And in a society where it's one of the big challenges of our society, addiction. And some people, it's actually quite dangerous. Their life's threatened by their involvement with addictive substances. And some people come here to a place like this for the safety it provides them, so that they come someplace where they're not going to be tempted. And so one of the gifts that we provide here for many people is a place to come where this is the place where there's not going to be any temptation around alcohol and drugs. This is a place where if you're not going to run into anyone else who's doing that. So I hold that as a very high principle of our community as we try to create that kind of safety. It also is very hard to do the task that we're here to do if you're taking recreational drugs and alcohol to intoxicate yourself, because you're not really of your own mind. The idea is to cultivate your mind so that the strength of your own mind provides you with clarity. You can see clearly. And so to use some substance that either does that for you or does the opposite of that is counter, goes against the grain, goes against what the very thing we're trying to do here. So we try to, so these are the kind of the shared understanding, the shared values that we're embarking on for these days that we're together. And what we do is we chant them together as a way of evoking them and hearing each other and speaking them out loud so that they kind of begin having a life here for us and they can support us better. So the refuges will chant in the Pali, the Buddhist language. And the first thing we do in the chant is we chant which basically paying respect to the Buddha, expressing our appreciation for him. And then after that, we do the refuges, which is, Buddham Saranam Gacchami. Buddham is Buddha. Saranam means refuge. And Gacchami is a completely ordinary Indic word meaning to walk, to go. So I walk to the Buddha. I go to the Buddha for refuge. So if you go to the local village, walk to the village, you Gacchami to the village. So it's just an ordinary word. So I go, I walk. I like the fact that it's walk because you bring your whole body along then. It's something you do, all of you goes along when you go for refuge. And then it's Dhamma, and then it's Sangha. And then we do it the second time, we start by saying for the second time, which in Pali is Dutiyampi. And then we do it a third time, and the third time is Tatiyampi. So that's these Pali words. And then the precepts we'll do in English. And we'll do it as call and response. And you can repeat after me. And we'll start by doing it one word at a time. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddham Saranam Gacchami. Dhammam Saranam Gacchami. Sangam Saranam Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddham Saranam Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammam Saranam Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sangam Saranam Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddham
Saranam
Gacchami
Tatiyampi
Dhammam
Saranam
Gacchami
Tatiyampi
Sangam
Saranam
Gacchami. So thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your intention to be here and to practice and to share with the purpose that we're all here to do. And it's the intention of Andre and I and our managers, Evan and Sahara and others, to support you. And in fact, I hope it's the intention of all of us to support each other, and that we can feel our mutual support as we go through this week. I'm very appreciative of everyone being here. Thank you. Precepts. Oh, to do the precepts. Oh. Okay. So the precepts. So, repeat after me. We'll do it half a line at a time. For the sake of our training together,
I will endeavor not to kill.
For the sake of our training together,
I will endeavor not to take what is not given.
For the sake of our practice together,
I will endeavor not to engage in sexual misconduct.
For the sake of our practice together,
I will endeavor not to lie.
For the sake of our practice together,
I will endeavor not to intoxicate mind or body.
Thank you again. Anything else? So, I hope you have a good sleep. By design, we finish the evening around 8:30 with a hope that you'll go to bed early and just have the same bedtime as my 11-year-old. I think it's very common for people when they come on retreat to be tired. It's often a lot of extra preparations and staying up and so we're tired coming here. There seems to be an epidemic phenomenon in America that people are sleep deprived. More people need to sleep and they need to meditate. So the hope is that you can get an early and full night's sleep. If you're new on retreat, if you've never been on retreat before, be a little bit prepared that it's fairly common that the first day of a retreat that people can be very tired. You'll be surprisingly tired. You don't have to be. Sometimes you're not. But if you are, just know, don't take it personally. And don't conclude that the retreat's a bust. You should have gone to the square dancing. camp. The first day is just kind of a tired day, and your job is to practice as graciously as you can with that, and not make a big deal of it, and take a nap if you need to. But anyway, I hope you sleep well tonight.